Happy Sabbath to everyone. Good to see all of you. Good to be here. It's a nice ride. I always enjoy it, and I always enjoy being here. You make me feel so welcome. Thank you for the visitors that are with us and those on the webcast. We hope that what we say today will be a blessing to you. Stories told of a minister trying desperately to get his sermon done, but he was constantly being interrupted by his son, and he was having trouble. He couldn't even decide on the topic. So suddenly, out of the blue, he had an idea. Huh, he remembered seeing a picture of a globe in a magazine. Ah, he thought, give my son a little puzzle, and that'll take care of him for a while and give me some concentrating time. So he found a magazine, got the globe, tore it up into a bunch of little pieces, gave him to his son and said, put that back together. To his chagrin, 5 minutes later, his son was back. The puzzle was done. And he looked at him and said, how did you get this puzzle done so fast? His son said, well, on the back of the picture was a picture of a man. I just turned the pieces over, put the man back together, because I knew if the man was right, his world would be right. How true. If the man is right, his world is right. But that's the rub. How do we get the man right? Turn with me, please, to Romans 8:7, and we will see what the real problem is. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So by nature, we are enmity against God. We are not subject to his laws, and we can't be by your very nature. And so that is the rub. How do we get the man right? Even God lamented, and let's turn to Deuteronomy 5, verse 29, Deuteronomy 5, 29. God recognized this and he lamented. Oh, that there was such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. So even God lamented that, oh, if we could get their heart straightened out, that it'll be well with them, that their world could be right. So as we are approaching the holy day season, I thought we would address this subject in a way that maybe we have not looked at it before. Seek ye first, we just sang that song, a beautiful song. And if we paid attention to the words, it would make it so much more meaningful. And then listening to the singing made it so beautiful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So like a scientist, let us make some assumptions. And then set out to prove those assumptions using the infallible word of God. So if a man seeks first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, let's assume his heart will be right. But to do that, he has to align his purpose with God's laws. And if his purpose is right, aligned with God's laws, his heart will be right. And if his heart is right, his world will be right. And if his world is right, then his future will be right. I'm going to base what I say today on a passage of scripture. It's found in Luke 17:20, and let's turn there. Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, Luke 17:20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither will they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you. Now, on the surface, we look at that and we say, how could he be saying the kingdom of God is in the Pharisees? But that's what he said. Okay, let's look at it a little bit here. It's hard to see, especially those in the back, but this is a seed. Yeah, it's a little seed. It's crumpled, it's dry, it really doesn't look like much. It looks like something you'd put in the garbage or step on and so on. But reality is, in this seed, there's a forest. There just is. Under the right circumstances, this can germinate, this can grow, this can bear fruit, which can bear seeds, which can, and before you know it, there's a forest. So within each and every one, there is a potential, and it's called the kingdom of God. That's what God saw when he spoke to Abraham. He saw potential, and he said, out of you will be nations and multitudes of nations. So you get the concept. Now, within, the kingdom of God's within you. Let's expand on that a little bit. Strong's Concordance, number 1787, within, is described as inside. And that makes sense. Within, inside, inside, inside. Now, if we look at Strong's Concordance 1722, which is the root where that original word came from, it defines within as a state, a time, a place. A state, keep those in mind, a time, and a place. Now, a state is a way of being, the way we are, state. I know you were thinking Florida. A time is what we understand a time to be, a period of time, an hour, a day, a week, a month. And a place, we have an understanding of what that could mean. So with this definition in mind, let's reread Deuteronomy 5:29 and then expand on it. So when God lamented, oh, that there was such a heart in them, oh, that their heart was in such a state, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments, including the time of the feast, and I'm going to add including the time of the Sabbath, because many times we don't think in that way, but the Sabbath is a reflection, memorial of sorts, of God's kingdom, God's feast, God's rest. It's a Sabbath of rest. In fact, let me pause here. And verse came to mind, thinking about the Sabbath. O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, a balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright. On thee the high and lowly, who led before the throne, saying, holy, 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 to the eternal one. And we all know and we all appreciate the Sabbath and how special it is and the meaning it has for us, not only in terms of fellowship, which we're enjoying right now, but in terms of what it means to us in our relation to God and in relation to our future. So if God wishes that the heart in them was right, then we assume that's where he looks. He looks at the heart. So if God looks at the heart, maybe that's where we should be looking too, when we want to do and be and become that state that God wants us to be in. So let's turn to Proverbs 4:23 and see what our marching orders are, in a sense. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So it is the heart that we have to pay attention to. God looks at it. We need to be looking at it too. And we need to be paying attention to the point that not only to keep it, but keep it with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Well, we think life in terms of now, being healthy and living and so on. But we think life in terms of the future, God's kingdom. Either way, out of the heart are the issues of life. And we are commanded to keep it with all diligence. The reason why we will find in Proverbs 23:7, so let's turn there. Proverbs 23. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now let me ask you, you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Anyone? Orange juice. Why? Anyone? Because that's what's inside. Orange juice. When Jesus, our perfect example, got squeezed, what came out? Remember, he was on the cross. He was being crucified. His life was ebbing out of him. And what came out? Forgiveness. Forgive them, he said, for they know not what they do. That's what was inside. So shouldn't we be putting things inside so that when we get squeezed, what comes out is not the carnal nature that we read about in the first verse, but what comes out is what's inside. And what's inside gets there because we make it possible for God to help us put it there. We have to change what's in there by the renewing of our minds. And we start the process by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So in the time that remains, let's look at 7 steps we must take to make our heart right. Because we want to prove that if a man seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his heart will be right. To do that, his purpose must be aligned with God's laws. And if his purpose is right, his heart will be right. And if his heart is right, the man will be right. And if the man is right, his world will be right. And if his world is right, his future with God, will be right. So the first step is to purpose in your heart. To purpose in your heart. And we read in Daniel 1:8, for the sake of time, we won't go there. He purposed in his heart. We have to purpose in our heart. It's something we have to do. The next step is to commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. We read that in Psalms 37:5, if you want to make a note of that. Purpose in our heart, and then commit. The next step is we have to ask. We have to ask. Because once you make the commitment, that's as far as we can go. We need God's help. We need God's input. And we know the example of Solomon. He became king, and he felt a little insecure about the whole thing. He was probably 20 years old, it seems. And so God told him, ask for anything you want. And he could have asked for anything he wanted because God told him to. And the first thing on his mind was wisdom. Give me an understanding heart. Shouldn't that be the first thing on our minds? Every day we wake up, we have a day 24 hours ahead of us. We've never lived that day before. We don't know what's going to come at us. We don't know what situation we find ourselves in. We don't even know the right things we need to be doing. First thing we need to do to get our hearts right, and in that effort to seek first God's kingdom, is to ask for wisdom and an understanding heart. The next thing we need to ask for is faith. The apostles, well, let's look at it. 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8. We need to ask for faith. And as our faith increases, there are certain things we need to add. Let's look at 2 Peter 1, 5 to 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, and that word pops up again, diligence. Add to your faith, we ask God to increase our faith. And once he gives us faith, now there are things we have to add. There are things we need to be doing in our seeking first the kingdom of God and its righteousness and developing that state that we need to be in. Add to your faith virtue. And to your virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. These are things we have to add. It's not going to happen naturally, and we don't have to do it alone. God said he'll be there to help us. But, as I always say, we never get an answer to the question we don't ask. So if we don't ask, there will be no answer, no response. We have to ask for faith. And then once we get that faith, or the increase of faith for that day, then we have to systematically look to add those virtues. And then the third thing we ask, we have to ask for God's Spirit, because he says, you know, I'll give it. You have to ask. I'll give the Spirit to anyone who asks. He says, if a father knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And do we need God's Spirit to see us through every day? Do we need God's Spirit to help us develop that state that we need to be as we seek God's kingdom first? John 4:14 will give us an idea of what will happen when we get that Spirit. Let's turn there, John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, it shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So once we get this input from God, it'll be in us springing up into everlasting life. And that is our hope. And that is our purpose for seeking the kingdom of God in the first place. So we are laying a solid foundation here in our quest to seek God's kingdom first. Let me digress a little bit here, and this is just a thought. Hopefully it means as much to you as it means to me, this well of water springing up into everlasting life. Just picture the cycle of a molecule of water. It's on the mountain. It's frozen. It's in a state, a frozen state. And spring comes along and it melts and it rolls down the mountain into a river. And over time, remember, within state, time, and place, over time, it runs down the river. Let's say it's the Mississippi. It's a long trip down the river. Time takes a lot of time. But once it gets down there, it gets into the ocean, the vast ocean. But once it gets into the ocean, let's, for the sake of our discussion, it gets vaporized. And it's in the sky. And it becomes a part of a cloud and blows over somewhere, comes down as rain, and it's a blessing to wherever it rains, providing food, making it cool and nice, providing the water they need for drinking and all the other purposes they use it for. So in that sense, we, as we seek God's kingdom first and we become in that state, and then we use the times that he gave us, the Sabbaths, time, the feast, the time, because those all picture the kingdom of God. And then we get to the kingdom of God when Christ returns. And we, in turn, will be a blessing to mankind in terms of what God is planning for us. Just a way of looking at it. So the next thing we need to do is apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now we've asked for wisdom, now we have to apply it. We have to do it. We have to apply our hearts unto wisdom. In addition to applying our hearts unto wisdom, step number 5, let's let our thoughts dwell on certain things, and we're told exactly what they need to be in Philippians 4:8. But these are things we have to do. We have to diligently discipline ourselves and discipline our minds. Obviously, now we have God's help. We have his Holy Spirit. And this is all a part of seeking first that kingdom of God and developing that state that we need to be that represents seeking God's kingdom. So we think of things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. That's what God wants us to think about. Step number 6, we need to hide God's laws in our heart. And if you read Psalms 19, 119, you will see where David alluded to God's commandments being righteousness, seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness. He also talks about God's righteous judgments, righteous testimonies, his ordinances, his entire word. So we see where we need to be going and what we need to be doing and how we need to be focusing our thoughts as we seek first the kingdom of God in our working to develop that state that in us, within, the kingdom of God is within you, represents the kingdom of God. And then the 7th step, of course, we read that before, keep, once we have all this, now we need to keep it because it's easy to lose it. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And we have the full assurance that God will help us to do that. Because if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we will stand before the King of Kings in that day. As part of that continuum, we become the state, God's kingdom. We enact through time his kingdom, the Sabbaths, the feasts, and then we look forward to Christ's return to actually establishing that kingdom. And all of a sudden now, it becomes a continuum in terms of our life and in terms of how we live. If we do this, we'll be like the man who is building his house on a rock. And like Paul, we can boldly say in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought a good fight. Sought first the kingdom of God. I have finished my course and kept the faith. Sought first the righteousness of that kingdom. Because that's what we are told to do. Seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And Paul did that and could say with all confidence at the end of his life, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have sought through my life the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So in the time that remains, let's look at Matthew 6:33 in a way, like I said, that we may never have looked at it before. And let's look at it in that light. Seek first to establish the purpose, then seek to establish the state that supports that purpose, and then ask for God's Spirit to help us. The story is told of an athlete, a high jumper. And he was an outstanding high jumper. In fact, he was at the top of his class. But he was going to something, let's say, like the Olympics, where he would meet those who were a little higher than him in their class. So he had to stretch, and he had to work hard. And how the coach got him to try even harder, he'd look up at the bar and say, you have to go over that. And he'd look at his coach and say, I can't. He said, well, if you put your heart over the bar, you will go over the bar. Just focus and concentrate on putting your heart over the bar, and you will go over the bar. He trained. Sure enough, he went to the Olympics and or whatever the meet was, and sure enough, he won. So as we work on getting our heart right, we may look at the bar that Christ set or that God set for us, and we may say, that's a little high. But we are told, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So let's put our heart over the bar. Let's focus on it. We may not do it all at once, but it's a process. Put our hearts over the bar. We will go over the bar. Because where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. In Matthew 13:24-53, God mentioned certain parables. He talked about the wheat and the tares. We know the story, so we won't go there. A farmer planted wheat, and there were tares. And the workers said to him, you know, didn't we plant wheat? How come the tares? Should we go pull them up? And he said, no. If you try pulling up the tares, you're going to pull up the wheat also. Let them grow until the harvest. So Paul went through that. Remember, Paul talked about the situations in his life that he had to go through. When I try to do good, the evil is there. I try to just concentrate on the wheat and there are tares. And many times we let that overwhelm us and we let that take us out of the game. God says, no, leave that alone. If there are tares, leave them alone. When the harvest time comes, we'll separate the wheat from the tares, we'll put them all together. In other words, don't sweat small stuff. Don't sweat the bad stuff. Keep your mind focused, keep your heart focused to where it needs to be and where you need to go. God also gave a parable of the mustard seed. Little seed, so small, yet growing so big. God gives us the earnest of his spirit, fertilizing his kingdom. And like I said, we need to nurture that state like the little seed. It looks so impossible for there to be a forest. We look at our hearts at the beginning, because we've come a little ways now. And what I'm saying is nothing new, but if what I say inspires us to focus a little more, purpose a little more, work a little harder, then that's all I'm trying to do, be a source of encouragement. He also gave the parable of the yeast and the flour. It's like the beginning of our faith. Yeast and the flour cause it to expand and grow. And we know without faith it is impossible. That's why at the beginning, when we're working to develop that state, we have to ask God every day to increase our faith, because without faith, it's impossible. And then we learned that with that faith, there are things we can add, like virtue and so on. He went on to give the parable of treasure in a field. Buy the truth and sell it not. Now, all this thing takes time. And time is money. Buy the truth. So we need to take the time. We need to make the time. Whatever we think is important or more important, make it secondary. Buy the truth. Sell it not. He also spoke the parable in that series he did, the pearl of great price. Remember, going over the bar, that dream, that Olympic gold, that pearl of great price, put your heart over the bar, and you will follow. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And in that series, the last parable he gave was a net full of fish. Discern, choose the good that we will let our minds dwell on. What is true, what's honest, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, and what's of good report. So now that we understand that the kingdom of God is within us in the form of a state or a time and a place, now that we understand why we need to seek God's kingdom first, and I've given you a practical plan to follow, it's not the only plan, and you can adapt it to your life and circumstances and personality and temperament. But sometimes it's nice to get a little guide, a little path to follow. Now that we understand that by daily asking God to create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, by daily asking God to renew our minds to think the things that are true and lovely and pure and so on, by daily putting on the whole armor of God, and then adding underneath that armor virtue and temperance and the things we talked about, by daily asking God to renew us, renew in us that well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now that we understand that by doing this, we will be in the state where we can truly mean, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, when we pray. And last week, if you got the same sermon here that we did in St. Pete, Mr. Martin stressed the importance of getting a deeper and more fulfilling relationship with God through prayer. Now that we understand, let us seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness every day, with all that we understand it to mean now, the state, our state. Let us seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness weekly, making the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and honor him in that time. Let us therefore keep the feast this year and every year with sincerity and truth. Let us eagerly await the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he will usher in that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Have a wonderful festival season and a wonderful feast.